Welcome to Quarantine Party Friday. Doesn't get any better than this. This is Chuck Bonneville and Julie Hayden on the Chuck and Julie Show. Truth Straight Up. Got a great show for you. We've got Patrick Neville. We've got Ramey Johnson. We've got everybody.
Your calls
and everything else. So,
show brought to you today, as always, by ColoradoCitizenPress.com. A great website, a conservative voice. It's a place we go to every day to find out what's going on.
If you're not checking it out, you're not getting the news.
That's right.
I can tell you that.
You really
in Colorado.
We're gonna talk a little bit. We have some lighter stuff to talk about too, but we want to jump right in with Patrick. So first of all, hey Patrick, thank you for coming on once again for the Weekly Minority Report.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So let me kind of get this, like, the news aspect out of the way first. Theoretically, you guys are all supposed to go back to the state capitol Monday. I'm taking it that's not going to happen. Or what is going to happen?
No, what's most likely going to happen is there's going to be a letter that's circulated around, and we're going to recess for a much longer period of time. I think probably the shortest time frame I've heard is April 13th.
Okay.
We could possibly go longer than that. We're trying to work out those details of that. Of course, there's the very important interrogatory opinion from the Supreme Court on whether or not all these days could be added at the end of the session. I think every Republican out there actually signed on to a letter in a brief saying that, no, these should be counted consecutive.
Right.
But, of course, we have a very liberal Supreme Court, so...
appointed by Democrat governors.
Here's what they're going to do, Patrick. They're going to say they're consecutive for Republicans, so you guys can't come back.
Right.
But the Democrats can come back.
Well, let me ask you a heretical question, if I could, Patrick. Last time I checked, which was just a little bit, 27 people have died of coronavirus in Colorado. This is the end of March, April 1st. April Fool's Day is considered the end of the major flu season. Not that you couldn't still get the flu or coronavirus, but the major part is considered over. Colorado constitutes 2% of the population in the country, a little less than that. We get 30,000 to 70,000 flu deaths every year, according to the CDC. So Colorado gets between 600 and 1,400 deaths every year due to the flu. Unless the coronavirus starts not going linear and goes exponentially.
Massively exponential.
Exponential is massive. There's no massive exponentially.
Go ahead.
She's not the mathematician of the show. The death toll in Colorado from the flu will not be any different than any other year particularly. It does not seem like a particularly deadly year, even if you add coronas to it. So why have we decided to destroy our state?
not you, Patrick.
Not you. No, in fact, you guys have been great. I want to give you a compliment for you wrote a letter to Douglas County, 15 of the 14 of the 16 or 15 of the 17 senators, not Kevin Priol.
Wrote a letter to the governor
saying, what the hell are you doing? But we seem to have decided, we being the governor, I guess, we don't get a choice, to close down a state for a year that's not more deadly than anything we've had in the last decade.
I mean, look, I'm taking this very seriously.
I'm not saying you're not. I'm saying I'm not.
I'm not saying you are either, Chuck, or you're saying that I'm not, more likely. But, like, I'm taking this seriously. This is a serious thing that's going on. I know, you know, just to give a quick example, I've actually had my 3-year-old daughter at home ever since this broke out. What bothers me about a lot of these executive orders coming out and the order from Tri-County Health specifically is that it still let my daughter, actually my 3-year-old daughter, I can still take her to daycare.
Right.
Which is just
as long as she doesn't learn anything. She can't learn anything while there. That's the key.
Let me finish. I can take her to daycare, but I can't hire my neighbor to babysit her.
Oh, there you go.
I'm just confused by what are we trying to do? And, like, my goodness, I just want to trust more in the American citizen, the American spirit. We see all these great things happening. I was at this PPE drive on Sunday.
Yeah, I saw a picture.
We had this grandma who dropped off this tiny bottle of sanitizer. She drove all the way down there because that's the one thing she could give to the retired nurse who dropped off thousands of N95 masks that are in, like, desperate need. And she's like, I just need to get them out. Thanks for doing this.
Right.
To the restaurant, we had several different restaurant people and people that do catering services that said, well, I'm out of business for a long time, so take my gloves. We had another person who actually did a schooling thing in Denver for woodworking and had a bunch of N95 masks himself.
Right.
And we collected 26 pallets in 4 hours of
wow.
all true medical gear. And that's what, to me, is like, that's the American spirit. Now we see at these other stories, like the maker of My Pillow, Hanes,
right.
making N95 masks.
Yeah.
We see
right.
F-150, GMC, retooling their stuff to actually allow to make for respirators. We're seeing this professor out of the University of Florida that found with $250 in parts from Home Depot made a respirator.
Wow.
And he's trying to get approval to... from the University of Florida, so they don't have to actually get a patent on it. They can, you know, send
just
those plans out.
It.
And that's what's going to get us through this, guys, is the American
right.
ingenuity, the American spirit, the free market, and people trying to help other people, not these authoritarian rules that are coming out.
Right. Well, here's, let me ask you this.
Let me finish. Is my logic wrong? Is it faulty? Am I failing to see some underlying something else? I mean, I understand... Even if you're the governor or anyone else, you have to respond to how people are feeling. And it's not just the math, it's how people are feeling. But is there anything wrong in my analysis that at least to date, this is not going to be a worse flu season, including the coronavirus, than any other year? As far as what we know today, now tomorrow you can start going up, and so maybe the caution is appropriate. But I don't think my logic is inappropriate unless you see some fault in it.
No. Your logic is not inappropriate. My point is we do have some significant shortages because we do rely on this international supply chain that
okay.
has been shortened through N95 masks, things like that. But guess what? Who fills that void? It's the private enterprise
right.
that comes in
right.
and fills that void. It's the private American people. I mean, literally, we had 26 pallets in 4 hours. That was amazing. What bothers me now is, now these orders came out, guess what? I can't do another PPE drive. They're illegal now.
There you go.
Right.
There you go.
Exactly. And it'd be legal for people to go there. Well, let me kind of back up and ask a question in terms of how this is handled. Because I think, like Chuck says, it's not clear. And, you know, only in hindsight are we going to know. And even then, and we probably won't know for sure. But what bothers me particularly about this is, number one, for instance, because we live in Adams County, right? So the Tri-County Health Department, which are unelected, as we said before, unelected bureaucrats made this decision. We're going to have Ramey Johnson on from Lakewood saying that people in Lakewood are like, hey, wait, we don't know if we need this or not. We had Governor Polis. Let me ask you this. Did he call you guys up? I know George Brockler was complaining, not complaining, but at least noting that, yeah, complaining that, hey, I'm the one that has to enforce it. You didn't even tell me this was coming. You saw Mayor Hancock cause riots at the liquor stores by just announcing things. I mean, did anybody talk this over with you guys at all? You guys being the state legislator, our elected officials, to get your input?
So specifically in the Tri-County Health Order, that yeah. was the most disturbing one that I have ever seen.
Okay.
I honestly, the first heads up I got from it was from Jess Loban, who's the town councilman in Castle Rock and a friend of mine. And he said, hey, Tri-County's doing this. And I'm like, well, I was going and trying to figure out my bylaws, you know, for my own state assembly to this meeting we were going to do with four or three other individuals. And I was thinking, well, there's no way they can do this. And then I get out of that meeting and find out they did it.
They did do
they
this,
did
right.
And then I'm like, what? And so I had to look back, and I guess there was a law passed back in 2008 that gave them this authority. And the fact of the matter is, like, I mean, I was kind of lobbying my commissioners beforehand saying, don't go forward with this. And they made those same sentiments to Tri-County Health, and
right.
that's what disturbed me the most. And what makes me so mad is, I mean, I Chuck and Julie, I had a close personal friend of mine, known him for years, and he's buying into a lot of the hype, and he was sending these texts saying, oh, that's just a cop-out, process is just a cop-out. I'm sorry, process is not a cop-out. I literally buried friends of mine, soldiers of mine, who fought and defended our Constitution and our American way of life, and this basically spat at our American way of life and the way we do things.
Right.
You
that
do
is
not
the process.
Give that,
right.
that amount of authority to an unelected board of bureaucrats.
Right.
Period.
who are still getting paid, by the way, too. I mean, that's what I was pointing out. You know, Polis, he's still getting paid, right?
Yeah.
So I know that, like I said, several of the state Republican senators sent a letter to the governor saying, basically saying, hey, look, you didn't even run this by us. We didn't have a discussion about it.
What I love is that that's quote unquote process. And then the other one they'll tell you is no one's above the law. And process is law. I mean, that's all there is. That's all the law is. And so they're saying, well, no one's above the law unless you're part of Tri-County. And then it's okay, because then objecting to it is process. Yeah, we got it.
Right. And here's what drives me most nuts about it. I mean, this was an extreme order.
Literally
outlawed babysitting. So if I hired someone to babysit my 3-year-old daughter instead of sending her to daycare, which is probably much more responsible given the situation we're facing. Seriously, they had an 18-month time in jail clause and a $5,000 fine. If I were trying to run a bill like that through the legislature, could you imagine?
No.
Could you imagine the testimony I would get? And these guys did it at the dark of night. And of course I'm going to push back on that, and I'll push back on that day and night.
Good for you, yeah.
Here's the thing. The way I look at it, and going back to Polis's order, maybe after a quick discussion, I understand the need to act quickly, but maybe after a quick discussion with you guys being our elected representatives, they could do it. And Polis may say, look, I'm going to overrule you, I'm going to do it. But just to come out and do it, right? The same way Hancock did it. Because my concern is, and I know people are going to say, oh, you're a conspiracy nut, and I'm going to be called a truther or something. But I do suspect that there is a lot of political game playing going on here. And so you have one Democrat mayor, because from what I understand, some of the other metropolitan mayors begged Hancock, please don't do this because it's going to be a domino effect. Everybody's going to do it. And Hancock said, I don't care. I'm in Denver and I'm safe and I'm term limited anyway.
He cared enough to make sure that they figured another way to close down all the counties around. I mean, if I was up in Sedgwick, which is up in northeastern Colorado, and I had not one single case of coronavirus, not death, just a case of it, not in my county or the counties surrounding them, I would go, wait a minute, I can't go to a bar because
I can't babysit. I can't go to a restaurant.
My business is closing. Why? And the answer to the why, and there is an answer, is to protect Denver. Because if Denver does it alone, then people will start going, well, Denver, fine, do whatever you want, but that's not appropriate for our part of the state. And then all of a sudden, Denver suffers. And the state government is run for one county, the city and county of Denver. That's the only county it's run for.
And more importantly, let's look at the actual practical effectiveness of these orders.
Right.
I mean, I think before Denver actually issued their shelter-in-place order, 99% of all people were actually abiding by essentially what the Denver order did. People were doing the right thing. They were trying to stay home. And then you have this Denver order that came in, and of course they included liquor stores and pot stores, and then you have this giant run on them. And so all these efforts we did in the past to actually make sure we had social distancing, they were totally eliminated because now we have these huge crowds and these huge runs on liquor stores and marijuana stores. And now we have the governor of Colorado saying, oh, no, you can't go to the chiropractor, but you can go to the pot store. I mean, what message are we truly sending here? I mean,
that's my thing.
It's totally outrageous.
And that's where I think it is particularly outrageous that there wasn't more involvement with other elected officials there, right? It was just these guys saying, nope, I'm the governor, I can do this. I mean, so what's to prevent Polis, and I know this is extreme, but what's to prevent him in this 2020 election year from saying, you know what, I'm going to keep things closed down for a long time here in Colorado, and then we're going to let the Republicans take the blame for it. I mean, it seems to me, you know, okay, so he did this, and now we're all got to just hope that he's going to be reasonable about how we step out of this? I mean, what do you see going on there?
Well, I think, you know, overall, like, what actually prevents him, and that's why I didn't push back so much on his order for shelter in place, because it actually was more measured and better than Tri-County's order. Like, Tri-County's order was just draconian as could be. And actually, since Polis did his order, they rescinded theirs too, so that's funny. The press is,
you know, they didn't have to. Apparently, you can be more restrictive. You can be more restrictive, so they could have left it in place. I mean, they could have left it in place and made it even more of a hellhole.
Yeah, but they pulled it back, and of course, you know, Kyle Clark and those guys aren't reporting that. But if I take a look at it, like at least Polis's powers are restricted to a 30-day time frame, and then he's got to face election again. That's my point. Like, throughout this entire time, like, what Tri-County did was absolutely outrageous. And I'm right. sorry. Like, I've got good friends who are really angry at me for pushing back on that. And they ooh, think ooh. That.
Identify the good friends.
We
want to know good friends. So we're going to identify.
When you knock on someone's door and tell them that their kid died, defending our Constitution and defending our way of life, yeah. process does matter.
Yes.
And I'm never going to forget that.
Yeah, no, exactly. And again, there was zero reason. It was all to give people, and I think Chuck's right, to give Denver on one hand political cover. Again, because from we understand there have been mayors who were urging Denver to not do it, who were urging the health departments to not do it, who were saying, let us deal with it. Because, I mean, every city is different. Every city has different considerations, right? The mayor of Glendale, we had him on, and he said, I absolutely don't want this in my city. Yet he had no choice. The Tri-County Health Department.
Well, have you ever dealt with Tri-County? And I've had to deal with Tri-County because Glendale is in Arapahoe County. They can be unbelievably difficult to deal with. I mean, they certainly say we're Tri-County and we'll do whatever we want to. And if I was Douglas County and it's been suggested, get out of Tri-County and go join up with El Paso County.
Well, that's exactly what was suggested in the letter.
Right, that exact thing.
And that's what we should be doing if they're not going to listen to the will of our Douglas County commissioners. And look, I don't always agree with our Douglas County commissioners, but my understanding is 2 out of 3 said, no, we don't want this. Right. And Tri-County said, we don't care. We're going to do it anyway. Right. We have
At least they're elected. So as a citizen, if you disagreed with it, you have some recourse. I mean, nobody even knows who these Tri-County people were.
We're talking with Patrick Neville. We want to reintroduce folks. We have Patrick Neville, the minority leader of the Senate, one of our favorite our favorite politician in Colorado.
What about Patrick looking forward? Okay, because I think the one good thing is we will eventually be out of this. And let me ask you actually on a lighter note, we were going to talk about this. Have you seen, there's a meme going around, Peter Boyle sent it to us. It's a dog like laying there on the couch and the words are coming out of the dog's mouth. He's like, sweet baby Jesus, when are these people going back to work? They're driving me crazy. I know our dog is going crazy.
It's looking exactly like that.
Yeah, and my sister sent me a text from her friend who said, it's only Thursday and I've been to the liquor store 3 times this week to stock up for the week. So, I mean, I can relate to that. But we will come out of this. And what do you see and what do we need to do to get, I mean, you know, we own a small newspaper. We're getting calls from clients all the time saying, hey, and we're like, we know, right? What kinds of things are you guys looking at or are you there yet? When this ends, because it will end.
Well, I'm only hoping that the answer is nothing, because whatever will pass the state, Senate, and House will be a Democratic gift to Planned Parenthood or some other refugee resettlement program or heroin site. So hopefully you'll do nothing.
No. Here's what's going to happen. The American people are going to band together, and the American people, through the American spirit, the way we solve all problems, are going to actually solve this. We do have a real shortage. There's a real shortage of N95 masks. There's a real shortage of ventilators. There's a real shortage of hospital workers. I know, even being retired military myself, I got the call like saying, would you come back? I don't fit the MOS criteria, but guess what? There are several people that do, and that's what's going to get us through this, is the American people putting their best foot forward and private enterprise. I mean, amazing things happening. Like, there's a company out of Grand Junction, former representative Lord Bradford has a company now doing N95 mask production in Grand Junction. I mean, this is amazing things, and that's why America is just awesome. It's great. We have, like I said, the maker of MyPillow and Hanes doing N95 masks. We have F-150 parts now going towards doing respirators, and it's things like that are that are going to get us through this more than these authoritarian orders.
Right.
And I know Kyle Clark doesn't like me saying that.
Kyle Clark is still getting paid.
Wait, guys, I want to make this one last point, too. Like, I get really frustrated when our governor makes the comparison to staying at home to the comparison of the sacrifices our people made before us on World War II.
Yeah,
exactly.
He did that in his speech and said that, like, just this is just like World War II. No, it's not.
No, it's not like World War II.
We've got it a lot easier, but we actually have to band together to solve these problems and fulfill those needs for the people who need it the most.
All right.
Yeah, I mean, as everybody's go, well, you got to maintain social distancing. And you kind of go, you do realize that that really doesn't do you, it's better than not. But they've said 6 feet is what, you know, normally people cough, it travels. For a lot of other people, it travels 8 feet, 10 feet. You walk 6 feet.
My 9-year-old, it travels like 100 feet.
100 feet. It doesn't guarantee you of anything.
It doesn't guarantee you. But, you know, it's amazing. Guess what? We didn't have any laws in place in Safeway when I was walking through Safeway earlier buying some groceries, but people were trying to maintain their distance.
Well, and they should.
People were doing their things. And guess what? We did that without a law.
But they tell us social distancing is 6 feet, but masks don't do you any good. It's a lie. N95 masks do a lot of good as long as you use it properly. A lot of good. A lot more good than social distancing. And hopefully they're going to have enough N95 masks. So come this fall, if they don't have any kind of virus vaccine for it, you know, there'll
be
enough.
Like Joe Biden.
Joe Biden.
And I would much rather be in a position to support people that are producing things like that
than sitting
back and looking out my window and reporting on my neighbors who leave their house.
Let's get Barney wants to come on the line to Patrick. People love to talk
Patrick,
to Patrick.
We'll take a call for you. Okay, hey Barney, welcome to the show.
Hey, hello Chuck, hello Julie, hello Patrick. Julie, back off. I want to talk to Patrick. But
Patrick, since you brought up
the World War II thing, let me set something straight that really pisses me off. First off, I was not able to get into the military. They didn't want me. I think they thought I was a little bit nuts. They wouldn't take me. But first responders, cops, firemen, whatever, are not what soldiers are. So what you guys done is completely different. I don't like it being lumped in the same group. You go run off to a country for 6 months or a year. You leave your family. The cop doesn't, and neither does the first responder. That one just pisses me off. So I'm just, since Patrick brought it up, I'm saying it. No, this isn't World War II, nothing close. By the way, the reason we're a shortage of the masks, probably, you got these a-holes running these hospitals. They don't stock anything because they're too tight. You know, they take every freaking dime they can take from the company, whatever. So we got caught with our pants down because you a-holes didn't have the mask. Not our fault, your fault. Now, I'm not taking your stupid, even though this is a nasty little bug, I'm not taking this serious, Patrick, because we have to give, what, $35 million to the Kennedy Center? And what, to Planned Parenthood? I ain't taking it serious. You assholes in Washington, I don't take it serious. And I'm not going to, you guys, I honestly think, Patrick, there's a lot of people out here like me. This is too many liberals running the show, knowing that, boy, we're having a lot of fun telling you dumbass peasants what to do. I'm just waiting. You know, we'll see what happens over the next 2 weeks. But this, you know, it's just like a big fat scam on us. And by the way, like I said, the thanking you for your service, yeah, give it to the military guy. Don't thank a trucker. I'm just doing my job. That's all I'm doing. I'm not saving America. I'm not on the front lines. I'm just a dumbass truck driver delivering gas. I'm not saving the effing world.
You're bringing the toilet paper, Barney, and the Tito's.
Thank you, Barney.
Thank you, Barney. Thank you. Well, Patrick, let me final question.
Well, let him respond.
Okay.
Look, we should take it serious, but no, that's, I mean, and look, even me, like, I'm not sitting out there going, gosh, I was a soldier, thank me, my sacrifice is more, like, I just want to compare it to, at least what I've known in history, of the sacrifices made during World War II, and we aren't anywhere there close, ladies and gentlemen, like, I mean, we had, like, true sacrifices, not only the sacrifices of people sending their loved ones away, I know my grandpa served in World War II, and he was away for like 3 years. He served on the Gothic lines in Italy, and he was away from his wife, my grandma, who unfortunately never got to meet because she passed away when my dad was, I think, 7 years old, I think. So I never got to meet her, but like there was true sacrifices made there. And like even back home, people were rationing things and making big sacrifices. We are not there. I mean, to say that, oh, gosh, staying at home and watching Netflix is some huge sacrifice. It's not.
Well, I don't know. Have you seen? We were forced to watch The Tiger King, Patrick.
It's good. Don't listen to it. It's good. let me ask you one other thing, Patrick, while we've got you on here. Nancy Pelosi, when she came up with her bill to solve the problem, put in one provision that's been noted a lot, unlimited ballot harvesting. And it was, there's been lots of shows on conservative. Why would Nancy Pelosi want ballot harvesting? And how important it is to the Democratic control of this country. And I know no one in Colorado listens to me.
You knew Chuck was going to put this in, Patrick. I was going to sneak it in.
But ballot harvesting is why the Democrats control the state. They would not control the state without ballot harvesting. And why the powers to be don't at least begin the effort to get rid of it in Colorado is beyond me. I'm talking to a blank wall out there, that they've got to start the studies that show what happens and what's happening in Colorado and how they managed to get, like in Adams County, all the last-minute votes went to Democrats, and it was all ballot harvesting.
There's a big problem with ballot harvesting. I think the biggest problem we have with ballot harvesting is we don't have DAs that actually have the foresight and fortitude to actually prosecute
that. Enforce it, exactly.
They don't. Like, it's very simple. We have 24-hour monitors on all the drop boxes, but we don't have DAs that want to investigate it. We don't have sheriffs that want to investigate it. They want to push back on other stuff. And I'll tell you this, like, the stimulus package being pushed forward, and this is probably going to be an unpopular opinion being a Republican, but I'm going to go out there and say it. I know President Trump, just lambasted my friend Thomas Massie today on Twitter, and I totally disagree. Like, we've got a $2 trillion bailout bill that's going forward, and on top of that, we've got another $4 trillion that's going out to through Fed incentives. And if you add those up, just for my family of five, that's an $85,000 debt. $85,000 debt. We will never recover that. My kids are going to be paying this off. Maybe their grandkids. And I'm a young guy. I'm 36, guys. So, my 12-year-old kids
are
going
to pick up the bill. It's great. Yeah.
No, you're right. Well, Patrick, here's the thing, and I'll let you go. And let me just make one comment, you can have the final say. What I do appreciate about you and many of the other Republicans out there is that you are at least speaking up. There is so much pressure. I mean, we got people calling us Nazis. There's so much pressure on people right now to just shut up and toe the progressive liberal line. Right. And I just want to say, that's not easy. So I just want to say, I appreciate you guys sending that letter to Tri-County, standing up and saying, like you said, process matters, things matter, the American people matter. So thank you.
And let me add.
Let me add to that.
From generations and generations of politicians, generations of them. And the one thing I know is that the hardest thing in the world is to be a politician and make the compromises you have to make, because you have to make compromises. If you're going to be the minority leader, you have to make compromises. But at the end, you still have a soul. Is there something still in there that isn't just, how do I get myself reelected, or how do I get myself here? That there is an inner core. And you're one of the people I really admire, because you have to make compromises. I don't always agree with your compromises, but you still have an inner soul. And that's what I really appreciate, because that's the hardest thing to do in politics.
Well, I appreciate that, guys. I mean, it's been a rough week this week. For sure, you get what I like to call the coming mommies out there, the Moms Demand Action Group out there.
Right.
It's been blasting me left and right. Kyle Clark blasted me left and right. But you know what? I take a look at it. Is my personal inspiration, besides, Christ Jesus himself, is Ralph Carr. I mean, Ralph Carr pushed back heavy on internment camps. And because he pushed back heavy on the federal government's trying to do internment camps in Colorado, he actually lost his election. He was the governor of Colorado and lost his election. But guess what? History actually showed that he was right. Mm-hmm. And I try to use that as an example. So,
we're looking at some of these
authoritarian orders. I will push back.
All right. Well, thank you.
Thanks, Patrick.
Patrick, thank you very much.
Take care.
All right. Thank you to Patrick Neville there. We're going to, and I'm going to throw out the call-in number, 888-627-6008, 888-627-6008. Want to turn now to Ramey Johnson. Wanted to get this at sort of a local level too. Ramey Johnson, if people listen to our show, are very familiar with her. She's a Lakewood City Council member, fights hard. And she too often is not Miss Congeniality or Miss Popularity at the Lakewood City Council meetings, but she always fights hard for the citizens who elected her, and wanted to get her take on all of this. So, Ramey, thank you for joining our podcast.
Yeah, first podcast visit.
Thank you. I appreciate your invitation.
So let me ask you again, from the local city council thing, I know initially it seemed to me there was a little bit of concern from the Lakewood City Council about the Jefferson County Health Department doing it without a lot of, you know,
you guys
getting to vote. But then poll has kind of wiped that out by passing the order. But what are your just thoughts as a Lakewood City Council member? What are your thoughts on some of this, these government shutdowns that have been ordered? Or not government shutdowns, but community shutdowns.
Right. The more that I'm getting into this, Julie, I am extremely concerned about what we have done this last week. It all happened very quickly. And the governor started to weigh in, and then the mayor, Hancock, started to weigh in and put a lockdown that cascaded, if you will.
Right.
It put pressure on the local cities surrounding Denver and certainly on the health department.
Right.
And they put us in a lockdown. And I really want to say I have a great amount of respect for the for Dr. Johnson, who's the head of our health department. What I am finding is that attorneys can read the same words and they interpret it very differently.
There you go. Exactly.
Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Well, I think your mayor indicated in that he said, well, it says this and therefore dot, that's it. Well, I promise you, in the law, it's never dot, that's it. It is a matter of, all laws are a matter of interpretation. And the old saying, if you want five different opinions, ask three different lawyers. And it's amazing.
It's true in this case especially.
Yeah, in this case especially.
So what kinds of things are you learning when you said the more you learn about this, the more concerned you're becoming?
Well, all of us received some information from the Colorado Municipal League. One of our city council women, Anita Springsteen, had concerns about the constitutionality of what's been going on.
Right.
And so CML did weigh in.
Okay.
Actually, the more that I read some of the information I got, truthfully, the more questions I have.
Right.
One of the citations was saying that a health department has the legal jurisdiction and authority to extend into cities. However, it did not cite where that is, where it doesn't give them the power and authority.
Right.
I'm not so much concerned that maybe it is the right thing to do to have a lockdown for 2 weeks to turn this thing around. It's the way that it's cascading and the way that it's going on.
Yeah. See, that's also my thing, too. Oh, go ahead. Keep going. I'm sorry.
No problem. I think that as a city, we are going to have to look at some other issues. Our city charter allows for our city manager to proclaim an emergency status, and I understand that. But when you read it, there is no language that says that it also needs to have input from city council. The input gotten so was from
you're
the
saying
directors and from the health department. The thing about having language like that in a charter is that it, you know, it's cast in stone, if you will.
Right.
And it's a loophole to me that, frankly, we're going to have to look at putting some language on the ballot such that if there is the need for a proclamation for an emergency status, city council also needs to have input and weigh in on the necessity of doing that. It is a very, very heavy decision to make.
Right, and I mean, and hopefully, you know, get some citizen.
As a local municipality, when I look at what has been put out there, it's talking about police departments enforcing closure of local businesses, private businesses.
Right.
And that gets you're on real thin ice with that one.
Right. Well, particularly when you look at the ridiculousness of it right now. Well, I, for one, am glad that liquor stores and pot dispensaries are still open. But it does seem kind of weird to me that a liquor store is considered essential and yet a chiropractor, an acupuncturist, or isn't, right?
Or I mean, dentist.
Or I mean, for that matter, frankly, a nail salon, right? I mean, one person, it's that's all in like, you know, whoever has a bigger lobby group, I think. Right. Let me ask you this, and because I think you're absolutely right, Ramey. This is sort of revealed. So what you're saying is in Lakewood and probably other cities too, the city manager, with in coordination with some other unelected bureaucrats, could, for all practical purposes, shut down a city without any input from citizens or let alone the city council?
That's exactly right. And I'm not criticizing the end result. Maybe it should have happened, but it's the way that we're getting there. And if we're not careful, city council is going to become completely impotent. So it needs to be addressed. There's a loophole there, and we're going to have to look at putting language on the ballot to address that.
Let me ask you just a couple more questions in terms of, besides the process, but the businesses. I'm sure you've probably been hearing from businesses in Lakewood. What kinds of things are they concerned about? What are you hearing from the folks out there?
Well, of course, the most important thing is that so many people are losing their jobs right now. They've got rents to pay, mortgages to pay, and, you know, I appreciate that there is going to be money that's going to be given, but if you're stuck in your home, you can't spend it anyway.
Well, the one thing you can always be assured of, if there's money going to be passed out, you're not going
to That's my guess. We're not going
to
see any
I don't need
of
to
it.
Worry about getting any money because I won't get it. It'll be passed to big corporations and then small amounts passed around to some others, and then all the rest
will
go
to the Kennedy Center.
And the Kennedy Center and the Catholic refugee program and everything else. Have you been any estimates of how this affects your city budget?
Oh, to me, it's just going to really bottom it out. And that's another thing that's going to have to be looked at. 4 months ago, when city council voted for the budget, the entire world was different.
Yes.
And, there are things that were put into the budget that are kind of ongoing, if you will, like replacing certain things in infrastructure that is aging. There's going to have to be, in all honesty, some real serious and some hard decisions looked at what our priorities are and who's going to be making that, who's going to weigh in on that. That is serious. One of the city councilmen had made the suggestion of at this time not having raises or not hiring people, you know, putting a hiring freeze on. I guess something that is really, for me, serious is that there is no outreach to get input from city council.
Of course not. The mayor won't make
Well, as you said, they've realized they don't need to, right? All they need to do is...
Here's one of the problems. In businesses, every time I've had to, you know, up and a down, you have a down, you got to get rid of people. And it makes you, because you never want to get rid of people, right? You never do, but it forces you to do it. And makes you a stronger organization when you come out of it. Cities never fire anybody. They just never do, ever. I mean, the idea that you put a hiring freeze is almost, you know, catatonic. They don't get their raises is catatonic. And that's why bureaucracies are so inefficient and so ugly things, because they never are culled. They never have to face the consequences of other times. And that's just a reality. No city council will ever approve firing anybody. Neither will a mayor. No matter how much you need it, they will cut out all fire services. They'll cut off. They will never fire anybody. And it's why bureaucracies are such ugly things.
Well, for the last few decades, there has been a tendency for Lakewood City Council to lose power and authority anyway.
Yes, yes.
That is coming back to bite us pretty hard. Right. But with this pandemic, I am really starting to see that when you have serious decisions, you've got to rely on more information or more thought than just the few people that are making decisions.
Right.
And when input is given, it's really not wanted or accepted. You know, there's another.
Well, and again, without asking the citizens, that's the other thing that seems very concerning to me about all of this is no citizen anywhere was given any kind of opportunity to weigh in. Nobody was given an opportunity to say, well, here's why my business is essential. Here's why this one isn't. I mean, for instance, today we had the guys come out, the True Green guys came out and fertilize the yard. Okay, I'm glad they did. But I'm like, well, why is that, once again, more essential than, say, a chiropractor or an acupuncture person who's taking the proper cleaning? You know what I mean? It just seems so unfair. And like you said, it just goes so against the American way. And yet, you know, we had an email from a guy who said, look, I was a veteran. I'm going to go stand out at the corner, and I won't say what corner. He said, and I'm going to exercise my First Amendment right. And he said, you know, if they, and I think, well, first he's social distancing, so they won't probably ticket him. But I mean, it seems like you're kind of stuck, right? Because if you complain too much, well, you don't want to get a ticket. You want to get thrown in jail. And yet there was no opportunity for anyone anywhere to weigh in on this.
I know. And there's actually been concern over our virtual meeting that we had this last Monday. You know, in some of this, people that are making the decisions are flying by the seat of their pants. And I understand that business needs to go on. You know, I actually can understand some of the reason to keep going with things. We did it on a Zoom platform.
Right.
However, we do have a city councilwoman, Springsteen, who has real serious issues regarding if having a vote on that platform is actually constitutional. Yeah. Also, there were citizens that would have liked to have weighed in on different things, and unfortunately, the technology was not in place for any live citizen input.
There you go.
The problem.
Yeah,
you know, that's something else that nobody ever brings up, and it's kind of, it seems a little strange, but I think it could be very serious, are some of these very high-density apartment houses.
Oh, sure, and single-use bags.
Particularly when they are located very close to each other.
Right.
If you get one or two families in one of those that the virus, what does that mean, that the whole building is in quarantine? Mm-hmm. Yeah. How does that work? I don't know if they have common duct systems or not.
Right.
But actually, when we're going full steam ahead with this high-density type of build-out, we're going to have to give some more thought to actually what that means.
I absolutely agree. Hey, listen, Remy, we'll let you go. Thank you for your time. And
good
thank
to talk
you.
To you, Remy.
Yeah, thank you for the fight you're fighting for the citizens of Lakewood. We appreciate it.
Take care. Thank you for what you do.
All right. Thank you, Ramey.
That's Ramey Johnson, Lakewood City Council person. Just a great, great person.
888-627-6008. 888-627-6008 is the number. We've got, I see, Karen Cataline joining us. Karen Cataline texted me. She said, breaking news. She has some information from her show earlier. So, Karen, hey, thank you for calling up. What's going on?
My pleasure. I didn't expect to be calling you this soon.
That's all right.
And I'm going to try to keep my head because when I heard this, my hair was on fire again. So
okay.
I want you guys, you know, especially Chuck, to tell me if this is not a bombshell story. Okay. My guest today on Spouting Off at Noon was Dan
Perkins.
Dan
Perkins.
Perkins, who you have interviewed many a time.
Right.
Great guy. He told me he had a bombshell, and I went, yeah, right? Dan Perkins had a bombshell, and it's all on my show, and he's going to be writing it up and doing talk radio everywhere, but we have advanced information. So he said when he saw that they reduced the stats down from 500,000 in Britain.
The Imperial College.
Deaths.
Right.
Correct. Are you on this, Chuck, already?
Uh-huh.
To 20,000 or less.
Right.
And when they projected 2.2 million deaths in this country, which is what Trump put in action, and now it's 80,000 or less, probably less, he got to thinking. He said, that's the International Institute in London. He looked up the International Institute in London and found out that this is the same group that forecasted climate change.
Well, I think it's the Imperial College in London, but
I want him to check this out absolutely. But the more we learn about this, you know, talk show hosts and news people, and I'm learning this because I'm a relative newbie at this. We don't want to engage in all kinds of harebrained ideas, but I believe we've got to start thinking much, much bigger about the motive that people would have for taking away our freedom and conning us into shutting our country down. If we don't think that big, I was listening to Patrick, and no, we're not heroes, but I'll tell you what we are. We are under attack in this country. And there's our liberties are under attack.
There's something else, Karen, too. I know, I think there are a lot of questions to be raised about this guy in Great Britain who was coming up with these things and then dramatically reduced them. Another thing is some of the modeling, and I'm going to forget the name of it, so forgive me for that, but that's coming out of the United States. It's put together by a bunch of Silicon Valley guys who are all Clinton Foundation donors, Clinton Foundation recipients, who are all Democrat operatives, right? Well, they worked on that. Whoever was it, the Throttle person, her campaign, and Michael Tao is putting some stuff together on that. So I think you're right. And, you know, let me give you, I did some numbers here too. And we want other people to call in 888-627-6008. Here's the thing. So in Colorado right now, we've had 1,400 today tested positive for coronavirus, 24 to 27 deaths, I guess. Okay. When you start trying to compare numbers, it becomes almost impossible because everything's apples and oranges. So there was a time in 2017, 2018, they said there were 80,000 deaths because of the flu, right? I mean, we're not anywhere in the whole world today. And again, this is all sad. There are 26,000. So we're shutting down local, national, international economies based on what, right? When you start trying to get actual numbers, like I was telling Chuck this the Colorado Health Department said in 2016, 54 people
That's
in
ridiculous.
Colorado died of the flu.
That can't
well,
be right.
That can't even remotely be right. If on the other hand, they say you go to another database and it says 36,000 people. Or I mean, it's just died in the whole country,
let
right?
Let me pose a question for your listeners, for your callers, because I think we need to ask ourselves, let's just say, since people are so shy these days to call something a conspiracy, you're a conspiracy theory, you're wearing a tinfoil hat. Let's just speculate for a minute. What's in it for people to fearmonger a country in an election year, people who've been running scam after scam, and allow a country to destroy its economy, the stock market by one third, and on, people are home, not working, they're desperate. This is a socialist dream right now, what we're looking at. So if you ask yourself, is there a benefit for doing this and right. watching how easily people roll over and fold when they are told they can't leave their home?
No.
Is there a benefit to that? There's loads of benefit there. And we know Democrats, operatives talk to each other. They are a top-down kind of an organization. So let's think a lot bigger about the fact that we may not be sacrificing our lives here, but we're dealing with something huge and as huge as World War II. And that is our country and our liberties are under attack and we're on the front lines.
Well, right. Just look at Dr. Blix. Came out.
Burks.
I'm not sure how you pronounce it. Kind of a weird spelling to it, but B-R-I-X-T. But Brix said the doomsday ones were not showing up. That was not. She got attacked on CNN and everywhere else.
Oh, yeah,
else.
Now they told you.
You don't want to hear any good
news.
You know
you're going to be attacked, but then you ask, why are you going to be
because
attacked?
Because they want. All everything is this election. Everything is this election.
Control, 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 control. Yeah. Yeah. And I've said it before. We've got to get a lot tougher. We've got to get a lot tougher. And there are people who will drive. And okay, so you fine me $5,000. Fine. Then I sue you for the
right.
For the,
that's what this guy was saying he wanted to do.
Restriction of my rights and my right to free assembly and my right to travel freely as a citizen.
And who will decide that?
Well, a bunch of Democrats.
Who will decide that in Colorado?
Hey, Karen, listen.
See, we're being bullied.
Yes,
we
are.
We are. Of course,
Karen,
you are.
I'm going to thank you for that bombshell. We've got some other people on that I want to bring on, but thank you for this. One more time. Where could people? Because you broke this on your show.
There's a podcast that's just freshly up on my show, Spouting Off, KarenCataline.com. You can watch the whole thing and watch Dan Perkins tell the story as he sees it. I would encourage you to have Dan Perkins on soon.
Okay, we'll do it.
Let him tell the story because he's the one who did it. So KarenCataline.com, watch the podcast. Tell me if I'm cracked, you know. I don't know.
I don't think you are. Thank you. Well, you're cracked.
But yeah, you're getting a little crazy.
I'm cracked.
All right, thank you.
Take care, Karen.
I see that Ben is
listening. Let me bring Ben up.
If Ben wants to join in, it might take him a second.
I want to talk about Ben's map, because it's really
let me to read this text from Anil. Okay. Anil is saying, I think our society is being conned into communism. Why won't people push back respectfully and expose these evil schemes? Here's the thing. I want to give credit again to people. Those 14 out of the 16 Republican senators who signed that letter to Pola saying, hey, what's up? People like Patrick Neville taking the heat for going up against the health departments, right, and saying what's up. So people are pushing back, and I think it is important. And you know, it's sort of a darned if you do, darned if you don't kind of situation, because if everything calms down and we don't have massive, massive, massive deaths, then they're going to say, see, it was necessary. But I think, again, as Patrick said and as Ramey said, the process with the way this is being done, I think is particularly alarming. So, Ben, we called you. We made you come on. So
I want to talk about. Okay. I want to talk about is that. I'm a PCP now for
precinct captain.
It's a precinct committee person, but it's the lowest level of the Republican Party. I mean, you're the ultimate foot soldiers, and nothing above.
And
that.
I'm your minion in that.
You're the substitute one. So I said, well, okay, great. You know, what are all the great materials the Republican Party will give me? And the answer is, you know, a list of some names. So I reached out to Ben and said, we got to do better than this. You know, we've got our precinct. Let's get on a map. Let's get each house. Let's get all the identification information we can on it. And so Ben, having some extra time, went incredible. I mean, he came up with this map. You got every house in our precinct. You just hit on the precinct. You find out, you know, what part are they in, how old they are, everything you want to know about them. A space for notes. We're supposed to get this Friday. I can ask Ben about it, which primary they voted in, if they voted in the primary. If they haven't voted, when they voted. So you went around, you actually had this enormous list, and Ben put it all together. And the state Republican Party, Zippo. We have no state Republican Party.
Well, that's the kind of thing we need for everybody, every precinct, everywhere, right?
Well, yeah, no, they're not going to do it. But because of Ben, at least the Fighting 46 is going to, Adams County is going to have a lot of information.
That's right. You know, that's the first time that I've ever really kind of played around in trying to create a map that was interactive like that. And so let me tell you, I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer, but if I can do that, I mean, they've got to have some sort of access to people that are much brighter than me. I've argued this for several years now, that our party is really behind the curve. The two of you participated in another little program I put together that would allow us to take a poll electronically via your smartphone. If you remember that.
Yeah, right.
When we had those numerous people that were running. So we were able to do that in Adams County. And yet the party said it was impossible to do.
Well, and here's why, Ben, this is so important. I think we're seeing what we saw happen just this past week in Colorado. We got a bunch of Democrats giving cover to each other, Democrat leaders, both Hancock and then Polis, right, giving cover to each other. And in Colorado, because of the way the system is working right now, the Democrats control, not because everybody agrees with them more, but because of the system and the ballot harvesting, they control the entire state government. So there is nobody. There was no attorney general, right? It's George Brock. Butler was Attorney General, he could have stepped into Jared Polis and said, Jared Polis, you don't have the authority to do that. Mm. He could have said to the Health Department, you don't have the authority. Or you could have, I mean, this is what happens when you have one party take control, seize control with an iron fist. They can do whatever they want and the rest of us be darned.
That's right, because they control all three branches of our government. This is my argument. I mean, since I've been alive, we have elected essentially three Republican governors in this state, and I'm 70.
Yeah.
So that's just telling you how pitiful this state party has been run for seven decades.
Right.
And what we have to do now, you guys know that I just really hate this idea about ballot harvesting. But that is the rules of the game that they have put forward on us, the Democrats have. And if we don't engage in that very activity, we will get our butts handed to us time and time again. And well, getting up to speed on all the technology that's available to us out there, because this data harvesting that has been going on for the last two decades by the Democrats, we have not done that.
Right.
Until we decide to step up and use these tools that we're supposed to, you know, we're challenged to do it, we will continue to lose. They'll change that rule about ballot harvesting as soon as we start kicking their butts.
Exactly. Well, you know, here's another reason why it's so concerning. And if you want to weigh in, we got some time here. 888-627-6008. We would love to hear what people think about this. Yeah. There was a story where they were talking about Polis was referencing hitting databases. He called them our data partners, right? That's like our data partners. That's the cell phone companies, right?
And no,
Google, and they are using people. They are literally tracking our cell phones around Colorado right now to try to find places where people congregating. What are they? I mean, so far they say, well, it's not to be punitive. It's just to get some money.
Oh, okay.
But
good.
I'm like, well, wait a minute. And again, that's where I go back to it. So again, if we had maybe a Republican attorney general or Republican somebody, right, they could say, hey, you can't do that. Do you know, what do you mean our data partners are sharing this information with us? I mean, because it is, I know this may sound crazy, but it is not a very big step from them saying, oh, well, we're not taking the personal data to figure out where Julie Hayden and Chuck Bonnywell are going, to them figuring out where we're going.
And neither with the federal government. The federal government doesn't do any data. Oh, it does do data.
Right.
Oh,
I forgot.
Have you guys noticed that whenever you take a picture with your cell phone, you can also pin that photo to your map and it will tell you where you've been throughout your trip.
Right.
They know exactly where you're at. They know what kind of data that you're searching on or products that you're searched for. So they're doing all the data mining. Google is excellent at this. This is what they sell your information. Right. And so whenever you pick up your phone or you go on your computer here, you'll always see these ads pop up, and then it will be something related to a search that you've done.
Right, exactly.
So they're very in tune with this. Our Republican Party is absolutely lost. They have no clue on what they're doing here. So until we get up to speed on this, and incidentally, that data that we're looking for as to how the unaffiliateds broke, Republican or Democrat, to return, that data has not been released as yet. So we're still waiting.
It was supposed to be released today.
I just checked it before your show, and I didn't see it up there. Okay, so we're still going to have to wait.
It's going to be available sometime.
Available, but to the Secretary of State's office?
No, it's a county.
It's going to come from the Secretary of State's office to the
county. To the county.
But we haven't received it as yet. So that's going to be very interesting, and it might be telling as to why this delay is taking place.
Yeah.
It could be that a lot of the unaffiliateds chose to vote only in the Republican and voted for Trump instead of the Democrats.
You know,
who knows?
I sound like a conspiracy nut, Ben, but that's exactly what I was going to say. I was going to say the Democrats, because they have a much better boots on the ground game than we do.
They have a boots on the ground.
Well, all right, they have one.
Yes.
And it's a really good one. They, I think, have already identified a lot of their unaffiliated voters.
Yes.
And so why would they be in a hurry to let the Republicans
Here's another nice fact. So I said, okay, well, great. You know, what's the data we have from people going around before and talking to people and so forth? And Ben indicates that they gave it all to the state Republican Party, and the state Republican Party said, oh, that's ours now, and we won't give it back.
Oh. No, we lost it. Well, that's what they said.
We lost it. Oh, yeah, we lost it.
Yeah, all the notes and everything that we had captured. Yeah, it's gone.
It's gone. It's gone.
Right. That reminds me. I got to tell you,
it's not even an organization. It's not even anything that exists in life.
Right. I got to tell you,
it's three people. It's three people in Greenwood Village. People say, "Well, the GOP says we need this." I said, "Who? Who? Who? Who?" Yeah. Well, we don't know exactly who. You know, it's there is no GOP. There is no GOP in this state.
Yes, there is.
Sasha,
there's three of us.
And Ken is in Washington. And other than that, there is no party.
There's something important I have to tell you, because you'd asked me about how you go about applying to become a national delegate.
Right.
And so you have to fill that out and get it to them by tomorrow, or rather, the 29th.
Okay.
Could have received a Gmail here pretty quickly. If not, I'll forward the one I've received from you.
Okay.
All right. Hey, well, Ben, listen, we're out of time. Thank you. Thank you to Patrick Neville. Hey, well, I said we're going to have Tim Neville, former Senator, State Senator Tim Neville. He wrote a letter, just a general letter, and I want to read just a portion of it, because we're going to be talking to him on the show Monday. As we approach to the end of the president's 15-day plan to slow the spread, some attention is rightfully being turned to getting people back to work where it makes sense. So while the president looks forward instead of backward, why would Governor Polis, Mayor Hancock, and other bureaucrats choose that same moment to initiate further restrictions on citizens and businesses? Sorry, but I don't believe in coincidences. Neither do I. We'll be talking to Tim Neville about that on Monday.
Tim is Patrick's dad and just a great guy.
That's right.
But I want to thank everybody for joining our program. I want to thank
ColoradoCitizenPress.com.
You got to get, honestly, you got to get Colorado Citizen Press. Karen Cadline for giving the updated news, and Ramey Johnson and everyone else. So until quarantine Monday, this is from our quarantine headquarters, Chuck Bonnewell and Julie Hayden.